Staying Alive with Rita Steele on 95 BFM.
What's going on, Rita?
Hello, how are you?
Good, good. Now, a new government. We've got a brand new government. And I think there's a lot of people feeling, you know, pretty positive to have a stable government. And we're kind of familiar with Labor and how they are going to operate. But what are they going to do for the environment?
Well, yes. I mean, it's interesting you say we have a new government. So we have election results. We technically don't have a government just yet, because I think that they spend the next 2 weeks deciding how they'll make up their government. I think that's how it works. We probably need a political expert to explain it. But, you know, there is a bit of debate about whether or not they'll do some sort of agreement with the Greens. You know, and as a environmentalist, I would absolutely love to see that. And we'll talk about why in a minute. But,
When I last heard yesterday, it sounded like Jacinda was being rather coy as to whether or not she would include the Greens in the government.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem like much has changed today either. Like, I think, you know, even the conversations with the Greens the interviews I've listened to, I mean, the thing is that they know they can work together, and I'm sure there's some sort of arrangement that's not going to hold, you know, Labor to ransom. It's not, you know, one of the other parties, which probably play a little bit dirty. They both play quite nicely in the sandpit, I think, together. So, you know, there is some room. And I'll talk, you know, the thing is that there's a lot of policies. The Labor environmental policies, which we went through a few weeks ago now, you know, they're not actually that well developed. And I think that that's because they've always leaned on the Greens to have a more developed environmental agenda. So I wouldn't be surprised if there is some role for the Greens to play in this because of that, really. You know, when it comes to the detail, whether or not that's something. In particular, the Labor Party issues a really, really good waste. So we're going to see, I think, the next 3 years really focused on waste. In particular, you know, the thing that's great about waste is you see a pretty instant, you know, result from it. So under the last Jacinda government, we saw a plastic ban, single-use plastic bags banned. And remember, at the time, that seemed really controversial, and now everyone has, within a really short space of time, got pretty well used to it. So I think waste is a really smart place to start, because it's something that people get used to pretty quickly, and you get quite a good, you know, result out of it. So they've targeted this in their policy statement. So when I read through them again, you know, what I think we'll probably see is things like deposit schemes. We'll see a lot of jobs pop up around, you know, it looks like they'll probably do, they've got money there for infrastructure, which I think will be things like new recycling plants.
Do you think we will?
They want to get rid of any difficult to recycle single-use plastics. And then any, you know, major, you know, I think they'll see things like plastic bottles. We'll probably see a plant to recycle those pop up. There's a lot of phase outs of things that don't make sense, which is really good to see. And I think that we'll see lots and lots of that kind of stuff. And the one that I was really excited to see was about the life cycle of a product being put back onto the producer. So in short, that really is about cracking down on planned obsolescence. And we've covered this a couple of times before, but you know, that thing where you have a cell phone that within 2 years is the battery's dying, or you know, a dishwasher that, which I've recently had, only lasts you know, 4 years. So we're actually pretty well covered under the Consumer Guarantees Act that your products should, they all have a lifespan. So if you've got a dishwasher, I found out recently, it should last for 10 years. And if it's anything shorter than that, then you can actually go and have the manufacturer up about that. I think we'll see a lot more strengthening around that kind of stuff, the schemes around that. And there's also the jobs for nature. So I think we'll see, you know, that pop up around the space as well. So they've already announced 11,000 jobs. And I think that waste, you know, and that combined with their infrastructure spending, I think we'll see some of those cleanups of those landfills that we've talked about that are kind of ticking time bombs out there, old landfills. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see some stuff in that space too.
Now, going back to domestic recycling, do you think that is an achievable reality that we actually have recycling plants within New Zealand that will deal with the waste that we create here rather than us just shipping overseas? Because I think everyone has had their head buried in the sand for a long time on this one, and everyone thought it was all good, us chucking our recycling in the recycling bin, but actually, matter of fact, nothing really happened with it. It just sort of went to
overseas
You couldn't trace what happened to it, or it's just sitting here currently down in the Coromandel somewhere.
Yeah, so I think that it's an interesting one. It doesn't make financial sense to have a recycling plant, to be honest with you. It doesn't make sense anywhere. Plastic is cheap. It's a byproduct of the petroleum industry. It is almost free to produce. So anything that requires recycling is an expensive process to draw, you know, So the usage of a recycled plastic over a new plastic costs any company more than it would do to just, produce new plastic. So you're right, you know, I think it's nice to say we'll have a recycling plant for plastic, but it will cost taxpayers money, and that is insane to me, because what you're just doing is you're putting the cost of your choice to drink water out of a plastic bottle onto society rather than you paying the cost of that plastic bottle. And there's nothing in their plan, that's not true. There is something in their policy that says that they want to put the cost of cleanup back onto producers. They were more talking about it, it sounds like they were talking about it in that planned obsolescence space, but I think this is where they could rely on someone like the Greens, who have done more deeper numbers and analysis on whether it's worth having a recycle plant. You know, are the jobs, you know, do the jobs that it creates justify the input that we will have to put in as taxpayers, or does it just make sense to ban it outright and, you know, have another alternative? So I think that's where that relationship with the Greens will really come in handy, is that a lot of the heavy lifting on some of those more detailed plans will have been done by the Greens.
Now, Rita, I watched David Attenborough's latest Netflix special last night, and it got me thinking about sort of regenerative practices and extending the wilderness and returning some of farmland to natural forests and stuff like that. Is there any sort of plan from the Labor government to return farmland to native forest?
No, and again, this is an area that I'd really love to see the Greens in Parliament for, because their agriculture plan is actually, I mean, it's not fully there, but it's much smarter than ignoring the problem. And unfortunately, I think for Labor, they've been terrified of pissing off farmers, and they've stayed away from it. And even in their climate change policy, the only conversation about agriculture is that they think there should be more research. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. Whenever anyone's plan is that they should just do more research on it, it means basically doing nothing, because it's cool. I'm all for doing research and hopefully crossing our fingers for some innovation in the areas, but that is not a solution. It's something we should do on the side, but it's not a solution. The green policy for farmers is a much better one for New Zealand and for farmers, and that's something that's a real shame. I see a lot of farmers thinking that, you know, the urban support for the Green Party is about hating farmers, and I get a little bit of that myself. You know, you do hate farmers. I absolutely do not hate farmers, and we need farming to grow food. We just need to be smart about it, and New Zealand's policy up until now has been quantity over quality, and that's crazy, because if you look around the world, our quality is, you know, I would love to say it's the best in the world. There's probably some people in Europe that would disagree with that, but it's got to be close to the best in the world. So, you know, it's a real opportunity for us to look at how we do this and how we build an ecosystem that includes farming as part of a system, rather than chopping down big lots of forestry to create grass for cows. That is a really old school way of thinking, and we've seen in bad times, you know, the cost of the price people are willing to pay for milk doesn't even cover the cost of producing it, even with the free pollution that we provide as a society to farmers. So if it doesn't make sense like that, then, you know, even with free pollution, then it's crazy to keep, you know, to do it that way. I don't think we should get rid of dairy farms completely. I think we just need to be smart about integrating them into a system where, you know, it's part of one part of the farm rather than the whole farm.
And
that's the Greens policy.
Is there anything in the works for protecting fisheries or our coastal areas, do you think?
Yeah, there was a little bit in there, but again, not a lot. They have really been held back in that space by New Zealand First in particular, because there was a lot of what I think is slightly dubious connections to fisheries in New Zealand. But the biggest one is CCTV on boats that has been on the go slow, and I think we'll see that increase very quickly. They also have a few policies around protecting a couple more sort of spaces, like the Kermadec Sanctuary. What I think we will see again is the Greens pick up some of that mandate, and they will probably try to push that through. And it will be a really interesting area, because I think the other thing worth pointing out is that, you know, the fishing industry is it's collapsing. You know, it's in our lifetime we will find it very hard, you know, to get fresh fish that isn't contaminated, that isn't, you know, that's something that in the next 30 years is going to become really expensive and really rare. And you know, we should be leading the way on this, but it provides so much money. It's so much, you know, in the way of jobs in areas that really need them. So I think it's going to be a tricky one, to be honest. And it's also very much so tied up with the treaty and also other kind of things, like they've sold quotas to people, so how do we get them back? And it's really complicated. And I don't think we'll unfortunately see a lot of movement in the next 3 years in that space.
Now, one last thing, Rita. Do you want to speculate on the outcome of the cannabis referendum and the Green vote?
This is not necessarily in the area of environmental policy, so
but
I'm not entitled
it's kind
to,
of in a way it's kind of connected a little bit.
Yeah, it is, like it's you know, it's a really great I mean, I don't know how, like if they think, I don't think they're thinking that there's going to be big you know, marijuana plantations anywhere, but marijuana and hemp are really especially hemp is a really fantastic regenerative tool on permaculture farms, so you can move that around the farm and let it decompose. You know, it's a very quick fix to soil that doesn't have a lot going on in it. So in terms of microbes or anything in the soil. So you know, from an environmental point of view, I would love to see some of that come online, because it gives farmers an option to bring in revenue and also regenerate their soil. I think New Zealand is much more conservative than I would like to think so as an Aucklander. That said, I didn't think that Labour would win by as much as they did, so who knows?
Right.
Who knows? I don't know. One each way there.
You're holding your cards close to your chest.
I think it's absolutely nuts not to have that conversation. Mm. Like, yeah. We live in the year 2020, for God's sake.
Free the weed, everyone. All right. Hey, Rita, thank you very much for chatting to us this evening. We'll check in with you next week.
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you.
Sweet. Bye.
That was Sustaining Alive on 95BFM.